Awesome. My name's Ken, and thank you, Raymark, for that message. And it was awesome. So that is a miracle, and thank you for sharing that incredible testimony. And it's coming up to Christmas, guys. That's great. And you know what? Every Nation Melbourne is getting into the spirit of Christmas. So we have some gifts to give out to the adults and to the children. I believe we're giving out chocolates right now. Right, so even right now, and if you really find my preaching super boring, just focus on how good that chocolate is, just enjoy it, savour it, maybe it will come back around again and you can enjoy a few more, but I believe that's happening, it will happen soon. I think they're counting the tires at the moment. I think it might take a while because everyone gave so much more because Raymark gave such a great tithe message. Come on, Raymark. And also for the kids, you're joining us today, and you might think that's a bit of a punishment, but actually, it's a reward. If you guys listen carefully to what I'm saying, I know it's hard, if you can remember a few certain things about what we're going to be giving out presents to the kids at the end of the service. But to get a present, you have to answer a question that I ask you, okay? So it's a little bit like a test. That was my daughter who said that, by the way. So, but we have presents to give out to the kids at the end. And I'm not going to keep you guys very long. Let's get right into this. We are doing a series called Hope Has Come. We're talking about the hope that has come at Christmas. And so as followers of Jesus, if you're a Christian here today, then this is a time where we remember how the world was changed forever, that God came into human history. And we've gone over a few aspects of about the type of hope that's come at Christmas. And so today we're going to be looking at how we are blessed as heirs to God's kingdom, to God's family, and that we've been adopted into his family. So as Christians, like I've said, we proclaim that hope has come at Christmas. And so for some people, Christmas can be a time that's devoid of hope. You know, it's kind of at the end of the year, all the ups and downs. Maybe it's been a tough year, and at the end of the year, and when everyone else is being happy and being celebrating, enjoying food, and you haven't got enough money, and you feel like you've been a failure. You know, sometimes this can be a time of the year where people are hopeless. But as Christians, we have a message. No matter what's gone on, no matter how you feel like you failed, or what's happened, you know what? A new year's coming, and God is able to bring hope for this present year. He's able to redeem it. Nothing's wasted in God's economy. Every time you feel like something's gone wrong, God is able to turn it around. Hope has come at Christmas. So, just a quick recap. What we look at, the hope that's come at Christmas is that God has come into human history. God is not far away. He's not distant. He's come close. It's not like he doesn't understand, or he only understands because he's God. He knows everything. He understands experientially. He understands because God himself actually became a human. He didn't just become a human. He didn't come as a full-grown human, as a full-grown man into, you know, a palace in Jerusalem. He came as a baby, as we saw on the video. You know, he was born where the baby animals were born as well. Who said that? Was it Haley? I think. So cute. Josh. Oh. He's my son. That's right. Good job, Josh. So, you know, God came close and he experienced everything we experienced. He became a human. You know what? Jesus is still a human. A human is on the throne of the universe right now. God has come into human history. He's not far. He's come close. What you've gone through this year, he understands. He's experienced it. God has come into human history, yes, but he's come into human history for a purpose, to set us free from slavery. We had a great message last week from Jen, and then Kelly got up and shared some thoughts about how, you know, human slavery actually takes place right now. And that's a great injustice that needs to be made right. And we can do that as God's people. But even if we're not literal slaves, and there are more slaves now right now in the world today than there has been in human history all the way up to this point. But even if we aren't literal slaves, there's certain things that can enslave us. That, you know, it can be human approval, you know, the rat race, the, you know, trying to acquire material possessions, hyper-consumerism, all sorts of things can, you know, addictive sins, substances, all these things can enslave us. So there's different things that can enslave us. But God has come into human history to set us free from slavery. That's redemption, incarnation, redemption, and adoption. Adoption. Not only has God come close, not only has God come close to set us free, he's come close to set us free so that we can be part of his family. And we read this all in one passage, Galatians chapter 4. It's not your typical Christmas passage, but this is about Christmas, right? This is about the hope that's come at Christmas. Let me just read it out to you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And if you're a lady here today, this includes you. Because you are his sons or daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So redemption is for slaves. Adoption is for orphans. And adoption kind of hits close to me because, you know, my dad was adopted. He was abandoned by his parents, by his mum and his dad. Dad was an alcoholic, ran off. Mum didn't know what to do, had three young kids. This is in like 1940s Australia. 1940s Australia in the country was very poor. They had a dirt floor. My dad grew up with a dirt floor for the kitchen. So just out in the middle of the province, so to speak, and grew up poor. And so a young mum with three kids, husband's run off, she didn't know what to do, so she just abandoned her children. You know, sometimes things get so hard. And so then my dad was adopted by his aunt. And if it wasn't, and they were just young themselves. You know, I it was my grandfather's funeral not too long ago, and, you know, I was so thankful to a man who took in three children that weren't his own. He went on to have eight of his own, or nine children. So it was 12 kids, three of them weren't his own. He adopted them. And then also my wife was adopted as well. And so, I always remember the story. There's the leader of every nation in West Africa, Sam Idogbon, his wife, Grace. I always remember her sharing this testimony. She was unable to conceive, and she kept on praying, God, I want a baby, and God challenged her. And this is not a challenge for everyone, but this was God's challenge specifically to her, and she felt God say, you know, Grace, you keep on praying for a child, but do you know how many children are praying for parents right now? You know, the world's actually full of literal orphans. She's gone on to adopt 12 kids. This is our every nation leader in West Africa. Because God challenged her. And adoption is powerful. But you know what? Even if we are not literal orphans, all of us are spiritual orphans. All of us have been alienated from our Heavenly Father. Alienated from God. We should be in relationship with Him. We were made to be in relationship with Him. But because of our own choices, we abandoned Him. And in so doing, made ourselves orphans. We experience what it means to be truly alone, to be adrift without purpose, to be without hope. That's what spiritual orphans are, people without hope. And I've been in that place at various times. And we live in a culture that's in that place at many times and tries to self-medicate through all of these things that they enslave themselves to. Sometimes people would rather be slaves than be orphans, right? And so they enslave themselves to something that gives them the sense of family. But really, it's taking from them. It's destroying them. And what we have as Christians is the message of hope for an alienated, alone, adrift, and without hope world. All of us are spiritual orphans. And, you know, this is what can happen with orphans. They can lack identity. Orphans can lack identity. Because it's parents actually who tell us who we are. You know, I tell my children who they are. You guys are Johnstons. And that means that you serve and encourage what we value. We value including the outsider. We value, you know, cleaning up our rooms, but we're still working on that. We're getting there. We're getting better at it. It's an aspirational, we have an aspirational value that our rooms will be clean. But as a father, that's what I do, right? As parents, that's what we do, is I bring some identity to my kids. Orphans can lack identity. We can ask the question, who am I? What's my story? What's my heritage? And you know, what were my parents like? Orphans can lack identity, and this is straight out of the Every Nation Victory Weekend material. When you don't have your real identity, your true identity, you default to a false identity. You create a false identity. You can create, or you can live in an expired identity. You know, you can have a false ID. You can go and make a false ID to get into places that you shouldn't be getting into. You can have an expired ID. It's legitimate, but it's out of date. It's no longer who you are now. We can live current fleshing around our false ID. We can live fleshing out our expired ID. But at Christmas time, the hope of our true identity has come. A true father wants to adopt us and to speak over each of our lives and say, this is who you are. This is your family name. This is what your family has done throughout history. You belong to the family of God. You are Ken Johnston, son of God, and your surname is Son of God. And this is what the family of God does. We make disciples. We honor God the Father. We bring healing to a broken world. We're on a mission to go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations. This is what the family of God does. This is the identity that I want to bring to you. This is your true identity, Ken. At Christmas, the hope of our true identity has come. Orphans can lack belonging, right? Being alone when God wants us to belong. You know, I used to, just because I was, just ignorant. But I used to talk about, you know, Kira would say, oh, my dad and my brother. And she, I'd go, no, your stepdad and your half-brothers. And then I realized, just wait, why am I thinking that? You know, Kira, oh, yeah, my brother's family. I mean, your half-brother. Like, why would I even interject that? You know, so I was a bit of a, just insensitive back when I was newly married. And but Kira has been adopted by her dad. And so what that means is she went before a judge, he went before a judge, and the judge signed off on the adoption, and Kira's birth certificate was changed to reflect that David Smith is her dad. So it's not a question of biological dad or any, or whatever. It's like literally her brothers are her brothers. I mean, genetically there might be some kind of situation going on, but for all other intents and purposes, she is fully their sister. She is fully his daughter. Adopted. Belonging. 100% belonging to the Smith family. Until I came along and brought it into the Johnston family. Orphans can lack belonging. This question of who are my people that I have to do this journey of life with? Who am I called to do this with? Who are the people that will have my back? At Christmas, the hope of family has come. I mean, isn't this who we are basically as human beings, right? A desire for relationship. And at Christmas, the hope of true relationship has come. True family. Real family. No matter what has gone on with our earthly families, our natural families, my dad was abandoned as a child. You know, he found real family. He found real family in Jesus. True family. Orphans can lack an inheritance. You know, I have a hope of an inheritance, of a natural inheritance. My dad's gone to be with Jesus now. My mum, you know, she's very frugal. She's been very wise with her money. She's saved up lots of money and she's bought 4 houses and she's paid them off and she's got 3 kids. So that kind of works out. It means I get 2, of course, because I'm the oldest. Although my sister's lawyers might have something to say about that. And, I have a hope of an inheritance one day. Bittersweet in a sense because it means my mum would pass on. But there's this hope, right? There's this hope of inheritance. Inheritance means that you're part of something bigger. Your family has been working together to accumulate material possessions so that they can be passed on. They've worked hard, they've enjoyed it, and then when they no longer need it, it's able to be passed on to the next generation, and there's this sense of a hope of an inheritance. But if you're an orphan, then the family that would be working towards saving up for your future and for the future of your children, they're not around. And so this sense of lack can be there. And that can be like, well, what hope do I have?
But at Christmas, the hope of a birthright has come, of an inheritance. That because Jesus came and because God sent him to redeem those under the law, and because God has sent the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit, as the ultimate gift. You mean the ultimate Christmas gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit into us, so that we can cry out, Abba Father, that we can belong to God the Father, to belong to the family of God, and that we can partake in his inheritance. At Christmas, the hope of a birthright has come. You know what your real identity is when you're adopted because of Christmas? Your real identity is 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called to proclaim the praises of those of him who's called you out of darkness into light. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's the two big whammies from the Old Testament, the kings and the priests. You're kingly and priestly. You're a holy nation, called, chosen. That's who you are. Derek, do you mind jumping up, man? Hope has come at Christmas. It's come for people who experience slavery, literal slaves, metaphorical slaves. If anything is enslaving you, then hope has come. That you can be set free. That you can have real value. That you can have a place and a purpose that God's calling you to. Hope has come at Christmas for orphans. You know, you read the Bible and God's heart is for the fatherless. He's always, all throughout the prophets, how he judges Israel is by how Israel, when God was happy with Israel, when they shared his heart for the fatherless and the refugee. He was angry at Israel when they rejected his heart for the fatherless, the widows, the refugees. God's heart is for the fatherless. God's heart is for the orphans. God's heart is so much for those that don't have what we often take for granted, that he sent his Son so that we could be adopted into his family, and that for all of eternity that we could belong, that we could have a birthright, have an inheritance, that we could have our true identity made known to us. That we don't have to use these fake IDs. The world is always giving you a fake ID. That we don't have to live on these expired. This is who I used to be. This is what I used to do. That we don't have to go back to what we used to do. That we can move forward into 2020, into who God's called us to be. If you are a Christian here today, then you can rest in the hope that your true identity is available for you, who you really are, who God made you to be. You can rest in the hope that you belong to the family of God. Even if your natural family rejects you, has rejected you. And that's a reality for some Christians. You know, they're from some different religion, perhaps, that's antagonistic towards Christianity, and they become a Christian and their family rejects them. Jesus said in the Gospels that no one who gives up lands or families for my sake will not have 100 times more in this life and more in the life to come. And that's because they belong to the family of God. If you're a Christian here today, then you can rest in the hope that you have an inheritance and that your inheritance is royal. Did you know that adoption in the time when this book of the Bible was written, the Roman Empire, what the Caesars would do, the leaders of the Roman Empire, they would adopt somebody. So Julius Caesar was adopted by Augustus Caesar. Or was it the other way around? The other way around. But one Caesar would adopt the future Caesar. So they wouldn't rely on just natural birth. They would go and they would look for someone that they would adopt and say, you know what, I'm going to give you my name and I'm going to adopt you for the purpose of my mission. I'm going to adopt you for the purpose of my kingdom, of my empire. I'm going to adopt you for the purpose of what I want, of giving you a position of leadership. Caesar would adopt an heir to reign and rule in his empire. It was like a political adoption. And so I've been talking about adoption all this up till now, really from the idea of our Western understanding of adoption. You know, someone who hasn't got parents being adopted, like my dad, like Kira, being adopted in. But at the time this was written, there was another dimension to adoption, which is the leadership dimension, the political dimension, the reigning dimension. God's adopted you to be part of his kingdom. God's adopted you so that you can reign and you can rule. Do you want to reign and rule in 2020? Do you want the next year of your life, the next years of the rest of your life to be in the fullness of who God's called you to be? Do you want to live in the fullness of, you know what? I'm not just chosen to be part of family, but I'm chosen to be part of the royal family. God is passing to me. He's passing me a baton to be his representative, to be his leader, to advance and to promote the purposes of his kingdom. Do you know, if you're not a Christian here today, then there's hope for you. If you're not a Christian here today, you don't need to use your fake ID anymore or to rely on an expired ID anymore. There's a true identity for you. The one who made you wants to tell you who you are. If you're not a Christian here today, then there's a family who wants you to come home. There's people here. I want you to be part of this family. You know, I invite you to my Christmas lunch. If you've got nothing else to do, Christmas lunch at my place this Wednesday. I've got a new ham glaze recipe I'm going to be using. It should be good. If you're not a Christian here today, then there's hope for you. You have an inheritance. You have a birthright. God wants to bring you into his family so that you can reign in his kingdom with him. For us in Every Nation Melbourne, as we enjoy Christmas, Christians should be the happiest people at Christmas time. Yeah, there's all the stresses about getting all the ingredients for lunch and dinner and how many people are going to turn up and, you know, am I going to like my present? Are people going to like the presents I get them? You know, all that. But Christians should be the happiest time. Let's celebrate. Let's really celebrate Christmas this year. Really celebrate it with a deep, deep internalized understanding that everything has changed because of Christmas. That hope has come because of Christmas. That 2020 can be the best year of our lives because of Christmas. That there's a hope, there's an inheritance. There's something that God has for each and every single one of us. For us at Every Nation Melbourne, as we enjoy Christmas, let's remember to offer hope.